Testing, 1, 2, 3, 4. Testing, 1, 2, 3, 4.
The Columbia Workshop under the direction of Irving Reese.
Tonight, the Columbia Workshop presents the 8th program of an experimental series dedicated to you and the magic of radio. We are about to try a new experiment in radio illusion. All of you are familiar with Jonathan Swift's immortal story, Gulliver's Travel. Now, using 4 studios, we are about to dramatize A Voyage to Brobdingnag from this great work, an attempt to capture the illusion of Gulliver and the Giant. You can help us if you will adjust your radio to slightly greater volume than you usually use and sit farther back from it. Those of you with tone control should turn it to bass. A Voyage to Brobdingnag from the 2nd book of Jonathan Swift's Gulliver's Travels.
In the latter part of the 19th century, Captain Lemuel Gulliver, an intrepid English explorer, set out on his second voyage of discovery. The ship ran into a great storm and was wrecked, and all the crew were drowned. Gulliver himself, by the mercy of Providence, was cast by the sea onto an island, and there for some hours he lay exhausted and unconscious. On awakening, he was surprised to find himself in the midst of what he thought was a dense forest. Huge trees surrounded him, growing so thickly that they shut out all light except that which filtered through from the sky far above the treetops. Suddenly, he hears a great rumbling in the distance.
All the blazing I reap as I see. Come in, why did it come to the door?
That's right. Now sit down and look at it closely. Why, the beyond. It shaped like a human being.
That's not all. It talks like one. Little King, say something to my wife.
A perfect mimicry in every respect. You thought it, memorize the words, husband, and repeat them like a parrot.
No, no, I assure you, it speaks of its own accord, and I think it has a slight danger of intelligence.
We've been 10 weeks on our journey, and your father, my master,
will go on longer.
Well,
you tired, Father. You tired too often, Blossom said. You must be off to tell Gulliver and the Queen.
Winning creature.
Your Majesty, may I have the honor of kissing you?
How gallantly it seems. To whom does it belong, child?
To my father, Your Majesty, but I believe you'll never do.
But I have no kidding.
It's excellently behaved, Your Majesty, and will make a delightful guest.
What do you say, Gulliver? Would you be content to live at court? Well, that's a great thing. You, sir, I presume that you are the master of the seesaw. Would you be willing to sell him for a good price?
Your Majesty can have him for
Sometimes how do you go easy to the man?
Everything I say.
It is an improbable case, Gulliver. I won't question it for the moment. But now I will take him in to the queen. She has invited you to have dinner with her. Come, Gulliver. I will take you to dinner.
Are all the people of your country as great powers as yourself, Gulliver? Those common flies would not harm you.
I am afraid that
the
fly
by
my head.
And
down
on the table here, there are multitudes of flies.
I
have
never
heard a simple fly so
described.
Where have you found the TV? It's going to be the fear that it's sticking stuff to some empty neighbors of the walk outside down on the ceiling.
Well, what
fly have you had? But here, there is your galaxy trick on a
grain
of salt.
Thank you.
not let you in the game. The king would put you to
death. Oh, I wouldn't want to bring any trouble on you, Gloucester.
Well, by the thing, no. If you listen, you can hear the dirt.
His little finger. Your troubles have gone to your head, my friend. It would take 50 men to lift you by that ring.
Where am I?
Alongside the Valiant and speaking to her captain, Thomas Wilcox.
I am an Englishman. Where are you bound?
Where are we bound? Why, for England.
Thank heaven. Get me out quickly. I have a wondrous tale to tell you.
The Columbia Workshop has just presented Leopold Prosser's adaptation of A Voyage to Brobdingnag from Jonathan Swift's Gulliver's Travels. We hope we succeeded in creating for you the illusion of Gulliver and his sojourn in the land of the Brobdingnagians. The Workshop, believing you may be interested in hearing the contrast between these special effects and normal pickups, has prepared a demonstration for you. First, let us show you a normal studio pickup of Ray Collins' voice reading some of his lines as the farmer Brobdingnag. And while he is talking, we will switch to the enlarging studio.
What is this? It's bowing down before me. Truly a well-trained flea. Where has it got to?
Oh, Mary! Why, it has only two legs. I've never seen a flea with only two legs. And now it's standing upright. Well, by the eternal sea, it's fighting like a man. Did I hear his name pick me up? I must be dreaming, it talks.
The enlarging was accomplished acoustically by letting the amplified voice bounce around the large hall before you heard it. It was necessary, however, to reduce Gulliver's voice and make him seem tiny, just as it was necessary to enlarge the giant's voice. So the reverse had to be done. We will let you hear Gulliver read some of his lines on a normal studio pickup, and then switch to the reducing studio.
Please, I'm not a flea. I'm a man like yourself. But I'm only 6 feet tall. Do not harm me, please. I'll do anything you ask of me.
Thus, controlled reverberation, which is the reflection of sounds from hard or soft surfaces, was used to achieve the illusion of a voyage to Brobdingnag. Such illusions, as you heard this evening, represented a new experiment in the use of acoustics in radio drama. But acoustic illusion is constantly used in dramatic programs. Each one of the studios in the Columbia building is constructed with a live and dead end. The live end consisting of reflecting hardwood panels, and the dead end treated with absorbent panels. Those of you who listened to the workshop presentation of Clark Wheel heard a rapid switch from one scene, which took place indoors in a small room, to a scene in the church during a sermon. Now, this was accomplished by having the microphone for the small room in the dead end of the studio, and the microphone for the church scene in the live end. Let us demonstrate. Two of our cast will read some lines for you, one close to a microphone in the dead end,
and the other about 10 feet away from a microphone in the live end. Listen.
This is the dead end of the studio. I am speaking about 1 foot from the microphone. The scene is supposed to represent the interior of a small room.
This is the live end of the studio. I'm speaking about 10 feet from the microphone. The scene can represent a large auditorium, a church, or any large room.
Having a live end and a dead end, you may wonder why it was necessary to use 4 studios for a voyage to Brobdingnag. Microphones do not discriminate between sounds. If Gulliver had been in the same studio with the Brobdingnags, his voice would have been picked up on their microphone, and consequently would have sounded like a giant's too. It was therefore necessary to have complete isolation for the Brobdingnags in order to enlarge them, and vice versa for Gulliver. This concludes our presentation for this evening. We would appreciate your letter telling us if you like the allusion in A Voyage to Brobdingnag from Gulliver's Travels, and also whether or not you are interested in the technical demonstrations explaining the techniques. Next week, the Columbia Workshop will present a condensed version of Shakespeare's Hamlet, in which we will attempt to affect in sound the perspectives motion pictures achieve with long shots and close-ups. The dramatization has been made by Orson Welles, who has achieved great credit for his recent staging of Macbeth. Mr. Welles will perform and assist in the staging of Hamlet. The Columbia Workshop is directed by Irving Lee. Alfred Spann assisted as technical director. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.